Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Revelation chapter 12, reading from the New King James. It's on the screen as well. Are you ready? Are you ready? Very good. I'm going to take it from verse 10. I don't know if you can back that up. If not, we'll get to verse 11 here in just a moment. Verse 10, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down. Verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony and did not love their lives even to the death. Let's go ahead and read verse 11 out loud. It's on the screen, on your device, in your Bible, whatever version you have. Verse 11, ready, set, go. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Father, thank you. Move in great power. Thank you for what you did in the first service and what you'll do now. This word spreads across the world, even by the internet, those on YouTube, on Spotify, those listening by podcast, perhaps in the future. Let every man and woman be brought low and you be glorified and magnified this morning. May we be forever changed and altered by your word that goes forth and does not return void. Let your power come upon us. Give us ears to hear and a heart to respond. We might be forever changed and the effects of this service be far-reaching even unto eternity. For the glory of God, in Jesus' name, shout amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to prevail. Come on, turn to your other neighbor and say, I'm going to do it. You may be seated. Notes are being passed out. Thank you, gentlemen. We started the series, brand new series, second message in the series. And if you were here last week, I talked about this framework or recipe, perhaps I should call it the strategy. That's a better word, a strategy, because we're in a war. Everybody say, I'm in a war. Yeah, we're in a war. Ephesians talks about that. We war not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers in dark places. We're in a war. So in every war, you've got to have a strategy. And if you don't have a strategy from God, you're finished. Now, the beautiful thing is, what we're reading is a strategy after the war has been won. The Lord is revealing on this passage here in Revelation how they won. They won. How did they win? When it's like reading the sports page after the big game. Oh, and it was that particular set of plays or that thing that they did at the last moment. And so it gives a framework. It gives a structure. It gives a strategy for how to overcome or how to prevail. How to prevail. So I'm teaching you in this brief series, 3-4 messages perhaps, on how to prevail, how to win, because you're in a battle. God's plan, God's intention for you to win. We all know for sure, not everybody wins. Some people utterly fail. God's intention for you is to win. How do you win? Now, I've preached dozens of messages about the blood, because without the blood, there's no victory. Without the blood, there's no winning at all. They overcame him, talking of Satan, Revelation 12, 11, by the blood of the Lamb. By the what? The blood of the Lamb. So it's the blood. Without the blood, you're not redeemed. Without the blood, you're not cleansed. Without the blood, your sin remains. So they overcame him, Satan. Here's how they won, by the blood of them. Everybody say the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. You know why I don't lead worship, but I'm a worshiper. The blood of Jesus is more powerful than anything you're facing. The blood of Jesus redeems. The blood of Jesus cleanses. The blood of Jesus heals by his stripes. Pierced for our transgressions, wounded for our iniquity, the chastisement that brought us peace was upon him. We win, number one, because of the blood. Everybody say it, the blood, the blood. Number two, preached it last week. It's on your testimony. Gave a challenge, you know, it was by video. I gave a challenge for you to testify. Talk about what God's done for you. Testify about how he healed you. Testify about how he saved you. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. We got that part. By the word. Everybody say by the word. By the word of their testimony. And then last week, the testimony can be without words. The way that you live. St. Augustine says, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. That means literally you can testify by the way that you live, by the way that you talk, by your actions. Amen. But that's not what it says. It says by the word of your testimony, by you declaring what Jesus has done, it releases power. And so we talked about speaking to mountains. Say to the mountain. Jesus said, speak to the mountain. Mountain, move. How many of you testified or you took the challenge? Oh my gosh. Let's pray that I would be more effective as a pastor. Father, I pray, God, now that even as I preach, that people would get a hold of it and obey your word. Come on. I know some of you aren't going to raise your hand no matter what happens. But testify. Everybody say, I'm going to do it. Testify. Use Facebook. Use social media for something other than gossip. Testify. Share about how Jesus set you free. Tell your neighbor. Tell your friend. I ran into somebody in the first service, and he was weeping after we had preached a message and talked to me about how he's been impacted. It's his first time here. And he said, I came because of my neighbor Mitch, told me to come. Mitch testified. I don't know which Mitch it is. There's like 15 of them here. But Mitch testified, and the man heard, and he came, and he got powerfully touched by God. That is one of the ways that you overcome, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word, by the what? By the word of your testimony. He said, aren't you belaboring it? Well, I only had 4 people raise your hand that you testified. How many of you testified last week, whether you heard my challenge or not? You testified about something. God healed me. God touched me. God said, good, good. Don't stop. It's part of the strategy for beating the enemy. Come on, lift a hand to heaven and say, I'm going to testify. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What do you mean, pastors? Do I have to go around and say so all the time? No, it means, talk about what he's done for you. And it leads us now to this third part. Loving not your life so much as to shrink from death. Sigmund Freud coined a term, narcissist. And on the screen behind me, you see a picture of a Greek figure, AI generated. And there was this young man who just lived for himself and rejected everybody else, said that their love was no good for him. And then he found him, he was so handsome. And he found himself looking in a pool, and the gods, it's mythological. The Greek gods cursed him. And so once he looked in the pool, he fell in love with himself, and he never looked away because he loved how much, the way that he looked, he was in love with himself. It's a term, the narcissist. It's a problem. What is narcissism? Narcissism is a personality defect, or it used to be considered a personality defect. They've defined that. It's a psychological disorder. And it exists on a spectrum. So there's some people that have narcissistic tendencies, maybe you. We all struggle with self. And someone who's a narcissist, there's a spectrum of that. You can have different levels of narcissism. Narcissism is a major problem in our culture. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. But mark this. Everybody say, mark it. Mark it. There will be terrible times in the last days. Listen, if it doesn't describe the day and the hour in which we're in. People will be lover of themselves, lover of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. So Paul's writing, and Paul's aware of narcissism. Narcissism is everywhere, and many times it's even embraced by the church. Should not be this way. If you're going to prevail, if you're going to win, if you're going to overcome, if you're going to walk in victory, it's by the blood, it's by the word of your testimony. And honey, brother, sister, Bubba, Jethro, you're going to have to stop falling in love with yourself. You have to learn to deny yourself. Deny yourself. I labored over this next paragraph. It says a lot. Listen now. Because of our fallen human nature and the fact that Satan's power is parasitical, our self-centeredness becomes the very thing that can release his, meaning Satan's, influence in our lives. Let's read it again. Read it with me. It's on the screen. Because of our fallen human nature and the fact that Satan's power is parasitical, our self-centeredness becomes the very thing that can release his influence in our lives. When I say his, it's not capitalized. I'm talking about the ugly one. I'm talking about the liar. And when you yield to your fallen human nature, it can potentially open the door or be an entry point for the enemy to manipulate you. You say, oh my gosh, then maybe I've opened a bunch of doors this week. That's why I'm preaching what I'm preaching to you, because you don't want to open the door. Everybody say, shut the door. Yeah, you got to shut the door. We begin to act like Satan. Isaiah 14, verse 12 through 14. This is a passage of scripture that talks about Lucifer, Satan, as well as Ezekiel 28. Let's read Isaiah 14, verse 12. And I want you to notice it's called the five I wills. I want you to notice them as we read through. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you're cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Stars are angels. I will also sit on the Mount of Transfiguration, Mount of the Congregation. On the furthest sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Wow. Ezekiel 28, verse 17. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. See, it's an issue of pride. Lucifer was considered, if you look at the King James, it talks about pipes and timbrels that seem to be in him. Seemed to be like the worship of heaven would go through Lucifer. And he was filled with pride. Now, it's not the case here, but it is the case in many places over the years that worship leaders have a tendency to get full of themselves. Because they lead congregations into God's presence and power, and they can get all full of themselves, not unlike Satan. And Satan said, I will, I will, I will, I will. And in that moment, he was cast down because there's only one God. And he to ascend the sides of the north, the congregation of the north, is to be like God. And in that moment, he was cast down to heaven. So when we're selfish and when we're, listen, if you look at your phone, look at, don't do it now because you might, you know, just be overwhelmingly convicted. If you look at all the photos that you have in your phone, which I think, you know, many of us have photos. You look at Pastor Karen's photos, they're filled with my first granddaughter. But they are not filled with selfies. There's an occasional selfie with people there, but not usually of herself. In fact, I don't think you ever take pictures of yourself, but you're always taking pictures of your granddaughter, and you're taking pictures of me a lot too, and I'm thankful for that. Praise the Lord. If you have an overwhelming majority of your photos is you, you might have a problem. If in your language it's I, gimme, 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 that's a problem because it's really the language of Satan. Satan's original sin here is self-exaltation. OK, Okay, what are you talking about, Pastor? We're in the notes. You're going to be filling in some blanks. We're going to look at some different texts. Now turn to the book of John. We're talking about a strategy for prevailing, a strategy for winning. God's intention, God's plan for you is to win. How do you win? Blood of the Lamb, word of your testimony. The third one is rather challenging. I remember having a young man say, I want to be a martyr for God. Well, that's the gift you give once, martyrdom. It's when you die for him. But I'll just tell you, if you can't die to self, you ain't ever going to be a martyr, Bubba. If you can't die to self today, if you can't deny your flesh now, you will never be able to stand in the day when perhaps judgment comes upon you. Not judgment, but a persecution comes upon you. John 12, verse 23, let's read the text. You ready? So the main text now. But Jesus answered and said, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Verse 26, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. Where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor. So Jesus is defining his life as a kernel. He's talking about himself, but he's also talking to us. He defines his life as a seed. Come on, how many of you got gardens out there? My son said, I think mom and you should enter your garden phase of life. I'm not entering my garden. I'm never entering a garden. I'm just not into it. I'm into sowing seed for the kingdom. You want to do plants and wrestle with your tomato plants all summer, go for it. I'm not doing that. But it's clear that if you sow a seed, then you get a harvest of whatever seed that is. There's a germination period, but it's got to die. A seed is transformed when it's sown. And he's talking about his life, and he's going to sow his life, and it's going to bring forth eternal life. But the same is true for you and me. We need to serve. Death can bring forth life. Say that. Death can bring forth, I'm going to say it again. Death can bring forth life. Whether you're sowing a seed of your life, I've sown, my wife and I have sown our lives into the state of Alaska. I'm not going anywhere. God called me here. Almost 20 years. Some are excited about that. Others don't care for it. I'm just trying to obey God. I'm not here to get likers, not here to do anything but obey God. And we're having a great time doing it, but it requires a death. If you're going to fulfill God's plan, if you're going to prevail, if you're going to walk in victory, it is absolutely by the blood. It is absolutely by the word of your testimony. And you must deny yourself. You must not be self-serving narcissist. You say, what if I'm married to one? Well, then they're hearing this message and hopefully they can repent, change, and become more like Jesus. Come on, somebody say amen. God views life differently than we do. God views life differently than we do. John 14, 25, anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it eternal life. You know, the greatest tragedy is not dying. You know what I think one of the greatest tragedy is? The greatest tragedy is living for yourself and in the end finding out you made a great mistake. Standing before him and he says, what happened? If you even stand before him at all. Because Jesus said, as you'll see in some texts that are coming, that if you're his disciple, you deny yourself. Aren't you glad you came to church? Bump your neighbor and say, I don't know, he's not talking to me. Is he talking to you? Go ahead, ask him. Wow, fantastic to be with you together. Today, following Jesus as he's great. Oh, no, let me read this. Mark 8, verse 35, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me, for the gospel, will save it. There's these rewards. Verse 26, following Jesus has great rewards. Verse 26, whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will be also. That's the reward of his presence. The reward of his presence. When you deny yourself, you know what you get? You get more of God. When you turn the other cheek, when you go the extra mile, when you do the Sermon on the Mount, you get his presence. In fact, in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount is all of these blessings. They're completely contradictory to the world. Blessed are you when you're persecuted. That doesn't make any sense. Yeah, it's like an upside down world, the kingdom of God. You'll be honored by my Father. Be honored by the, listen to this, in the book of Revelation chapter 2. To him who overcomes and prevails, I will give him some of the hidden manna to eat. I will give him a white stone, and a stone with a new name written in it. There are rewards for denying yourself. Revelation 3 and 21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. Wow. As I also overcame or prevailed and sit down with my Father on his throne. Loving Jesus more than loving your own self releases victory. Loving Jesus more than your own life releases victory. All right, that picture continues. Luke 24, turn in there on your device, in your Bibles, whatever you're looking at it with. It'll also be on the screen. Luke 14, verse 26, one verse. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, cannot be my disciple. Whoa, that's heavy. I'm supposed to hate my family? It's not saying that you should hate your family. What he's saying is that we should not abandon our love for our family. He's calling us to love him above all else. He's calling us to love by comparison. I have a great marriage. Now, if a husband says they have a great marriage, you really need to talk to the wife. But I have a great marriage. I know that I do because Pastor Karen tells me I have a great marriage, right? I think we have a great marriage too. She tells me I have a great marriage. And she tells me I'm a good husband, right? Amen. Why is that? Because you love her? Yes, I do. I do. I said forever, till death do us part. I love you. I love you. But the reason I'm able to put my flesh down is not because I love you. The reason, and I've stumbled repeatedly, but I'm improving. How many of you are improving? The reason I'm able to put my flesh down on a regular basis is because I love God way more than you. And and God speaks to me and helps me. Then she prays and God speaks to me. And she speaks to me, and sometimes I don't listen, but when God speaks to me, it really helps. You don't, not to hate your wife or hate your spouse, but by comparison. You know, your spouse cannot 100% fulfill you. That's only found in Christ. And if you have an idol before God and your spouse, that's trouble. Devotion to Jesus must be first. In other words, Jesus is saying that our devotion to him should be so great that by every other relationship would pale by comparison. And here's what happens when you love God with all your heart. When you love God with all your heart, what happens is he puts relationships in right order. Some of you are so angry at your husband, so angry at your wife, because you made him out to be an idol. You think, well, how come he's not perfect? You should just take your right hand with exceeding force and hit yourself and wake up. Because man, Pastor Karen said, wow, she told me to say that earlier in the first service. All of us fall short. God is the one. You make a vow, you stick to it, you obey it. It's very, very important. But by comparison, you love God first and foremost. Our devotion to Jesus must be first. That's a great commandment, the great commandment, the first commandment. Love the Lord your God. Luke 16, verse 13, no one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Money, it says in the New King James, but mammon is better because it's a spirit, really. God's speaking to us this morning a number of things. To prevail, we must operate in the opposite spirit of the world, the flesh, and the devil. As I said, the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Well, that's not what the world says. The world says, exalt yourself. Jesus said, turn the other cheek. The world says, get even. Jesus said, love your enemies. The world says, hate your enemies. Jesus said, do your good deeds in secret. And the world says, promote yourself. Jesus said, store up treasures in heaven. The world says, store up treasures in the earth. The world says, build your own kingdom. Jesus says, seek first my kingdom. It is a totally different way of operating. And if you don't download a new operating system, you will not walk in victory. You will not prevail. You will utterly lose. And you can abort God's plan for your life if you don't learn to put your flesh down. We made our kids eat leafy greens when we were raising our children. I've told the story before. It's quite humorous, but Daniel, my son Daniel, who's Minister Daniel now, leading the youth and one of the worship leaders in Maui, very proud of him, soon to get married January to Pastor Josh's daughter, Haven, making plans. Well, it could be that what's taking place in his life never would happen if we didn't make him eat lettuce. No, you guys aren't listening. I'm going to come a little closer. He said, I don't like lettuce. We knew for a fact. He never ate it. So how is he supposed to know whether he liked it or not if he didn't eat it? So he's like, no, I'm going to get sick. I said, dude, you're eating it. Mom wrestled with him, and then it came time for Dad. And I just looked at him. I don't know how old he is. How old is he? Six? Six or eight, seven? Who knows? I said, you're eating it. He said, no, Dad. I said, no, I'm not going to change my mind. Eat it. He's like, I said, eat it, bro. Okay. So you say, why would you make your son do that? Is that some mean parenting thing? No, because I don't want my son smoking weed. If you can't deny yourself and you constantly feeding yourself, Mr. Narcissist, you constantly staring, just want to do everything that just pleases me. I just want to be pleased. I just need pleasure and comfort. Now, that's not a biblical standard. Your kids need to learn to put their flesh down, and you need to learn to teach. Some of you are still like you're an adult, but you act like a child. I'm going over here. You ever heard of the term adult children of alcoholics? They're frozen in their emotions. You can get healed of that, by the way. You can get healed. Some people have never had no said to them. God says no. He says yes to some things, says no to others. Anyway, I know you want to hear the rest of the story with Daniel. He obeyed because we weren't leaving the table. He's going to obey. So he obeyed. He put a fork full in his mouth, chewed three or four times, and threw up. Now, after he threw up, we didn't make him eat lettuce after that, but at least he likes it now. But he had never tried it before. It was yielding his will to the yield of his father and his mother. So you don't understand, you must yield your will to the will of God. And if you don't do that, you'll never see victory. You'll never prevail. You won't win. I got like an amen and a good word. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. Lift your hands to heaven and say, I'm going to prevail. Absolutely. And you got to persevere in doing God's will. That's the other thing that's implied here. They love not their lives just to shrink from death. It's a picture of a fight, and it's a picture of like not quitting. It's a picture of moving forward. If you're going to win, and God's plan is for you to win, but you know as well as I do, a lot of people don't. A lot of people don't win. Got to operate in the opposite spirit. There's a Christian missionary called Elizabeth Elliot. She said this, the heart of discipleship is love. The heart of love is sacrifice. Instead of what do I get out of it? How about, what did Kennedy say? Ask not what you can do, what your nation can do for you, but ask what can you do for your nation. The whole attitude in our nation needs to change. And it's happening. There is a move of God sweeping across America. God is pouring out his spirit. Hospitals, there's not a hospital around that will do a gender surgery No hospitals in America do gender surgeries anymore. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Because prayer is working. And truth is truth. You can't change your gender. You just need healing. And I don't say that to pick on people. There's a lot of people that are confused. And if you are, we can help you with that. You can get set free. You can be delivered. You got to persevere. You think about the Apostle Paul. He's stoned at Lystra. Yet he gets up and preaches again. Why? Because he was about fulfilling the call and the vision that God gave him. You can't stop a man. You can't stop a woman. You can't stop a people who were driven by a God-given vision. They're not stoppable. They're unstoppable. They overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And you can't be stopped. I mean, if it means death, then so be it. I'm going to fulfill it. I will fulfill what he called me to do. I'm not afraid or ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. I'm trying to teach you how to win today. I'm trying to teach you. You got to get something deep down in you that won't back off, that won't quit, that won't let up. God's called you to a powerful vision of fulfilling the dream for your life here at the Vision of Kings Cathedral and Chapels around the world, and it requires sacrifice. In fact, it even might require our very lives. Perseverance is a mark of being willing to die for something bigger than yourself. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, Christ lives in me. The life I live by faith in the Son of God. See, martyrs can give their lives in martyrdom, because they've already done it before the Lord. They've already given up all rights. They've been purchased with a price. We gotta see things, understand that some things are more important than others, than ourselves. Let me say it again. We must understand some things are more important than ourselves. A man who graduated from ORU, 26 years old, John Allen, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, C-H-A-U, in 2018 of November, felt that God spoke to him to go to the North Sentinel Island to bring the gospel to an isolated Sentinelese people. He knew the risks. He knew that he was forbidden to go there according to the governmental laws. After several attempts to make contact, he was killed by the members of the tribe. He read his journal. Now, somebody said he was not stable. I mean, there's all kinds of things that people said about him. But he writes in his journal, Lord, I don't want to die, but I'm going to obey you. I'm going to bring the gospel. I'm going to do it. And he did. He went there and was killed on the shores of that island. But could it be that the seed, his life that he sowed for that tribe, could it be that would bring forth a great revival in that people? I think about others like Pat Tillman, who was a football player. And he quit $3.6 million a year to go into the military as a private to fight in Afghanistan and lost his life. He saw the fight in Afghanistan more important than his $3.6 million a year football job. Some things are more important. A man by the name of Richard Rescorla, it's September 11th, he was the director of security for Morgan Stanley. He was relentless about emergency preparedness. And when those towers were falling, he was responsible, according to some, responsible for saving 2,500 people. He evacuated that day, went back up one more time, and lost his life. Was his life worth 2,500 people being saved? He would say yes. Greater love, as it says in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jim Elliot, one of five missionaries who sought to bring the gospel to a tribe in Ecuador, after months attempting friendly contact, the missionaries, it's him and four others, missionaries went on a sandbar, 1956, the month of January, on the eighth day, and they shared their faith there and were killed. They were martyred. His wife took up the mantle. Her name is Elizabeth. And Nate's Saint's sister. They returned to live among the very tribe that killed their loved ones. And eventually that tribe experienced a great outpouring. And it is said by some that the whole tribe was saved. Was that worth it? What is your life about? Because if it's about you, you are absolutely missing it. What is your life about? Is it about how good you look or how many likers you have or how much money you have or how much fame you have? Never in all of Scripture, there's nowhere in Scripture where you're exhorted. I don't know what exhorted is, but exhorted, where you're exhorted to be famous. He gives assignments to people. He gives vision to people. And the fulfilling of that vision, the overcoming of the enemy, is by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of your testimony, and don't be afraid to give it all, the ultimate gift. Now, don't go running out and try to be a martyr, no. But be a martyr every day. Die to your flesh. Turn the other cheek. Go the extra mile. Come on, God wants you to walk in victory, but if you don't learn how to eat your leafy greens, spiritually speaking, and you're going to be spiritually anemic. And in actual fact, Jesus said, you're not his disciple. If you're feeling convicted now, I have done my job. Lift your hands to heaven. Oh, God, help us. Come on, ask God to help you. Oh, God, help us. God, help us. Wheels are down. We're on approach. Our sacrifice will make a difference for all eternity. Our sacrifice will make a difference for all eternity. I don't know where I was over the past week, but I had somebody pull me aside, tears in their eyes, and said, your series on David has really affected me. I had another pastor pull me aside, hey, that series on David, which I'll, by the grace of God, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I'll preach the next message tonight on the series of David. It's life-changing. He said, hey, that series on David, we're playing it for all our men's group at our church. I thought, really? We have no idea the results of what will take place through our obedience and through sacrifice and putting flesh down. I was driving home. Many, many years ago, I had finished a long day of ministry, visiting, praying for people, hospital visits, going to home visits. Pastor Karen said, would you please pick up some milk? And I picked up some milk, and I'm driving up. It's about a 30-minute drive to where our home was. I was about halfway there. And my phone rings, and it's a brother from the church. He says, hey, Pastor Daniel. I said, hey, bro, how's it going? He's like, good, good. And then the Lord speaks to me. I don't even hear anything else he says. The Lord says, turn around and go to his house right now. I'm like, no. We've already had a 12-hour day. No, I don't feel led of the Lord. It's not about being led of the Lord. You need to get the led out sometimes. I'm like, oh. I keep driving. I'm like, maybe that's not God, you know. And he's talking, oh yeah, this and that, this and that. And the Lord says, go to his house now. Now at that point, I can't even hear him. And I realize, I can't even hear what the guy's saying to me. I'm like, okay. So I throw a U-turn. I'm heading back into town, sort of irritated about it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You can be like, God tells you to do something. Like, okay, I'll do it for you. So I'm driving. And I don't know where he lives. I mean, I kind of know the general area, but I don't know. So we're talking. I'm like, hey, dude, where do you live? Oh, I'm over by such and such and so and so. So I headed that direction. I get a little closer. We're still small talking about stuff. I said, whereabouts is that? He said, oh, you know where the school is, just past the school. There's that street. It's whatever street. Well, I'm right there. So I turn onto his street. So I said, oh, awesome. Like, where on that street? Oh, all the way to the end, last house. I'm like, oh, all right. So I pull up. I still got him on the phone. I said, hey, dude, I'm here. I knock on his door because I just want to kind of blow his mind. It's kind of cool at that time, you know, like I show up. He answers the door, and he's got something behind him. He's got tears running down his face. He says, what are you doing here? I said, what are you doing? And he comes around. He's holding a revolver. He said, I'm gonna kill myself. I said, no, you're not. And I took the gun, put it on top of the refrigerator, laid hands on him, broke the devil off of him. The power of God hit him. He got totally set free. Came up out of that place. Come on, somebody say amen. Came up out of that. We made a plan. We were just going into our January fast, and he said, I think I'm going to fast. I said, you're going to fast. I'm going to fast with you. He had this thing on him. It was this generational thing. And so he fasted for 21 days. I'll never forget, on the 21st day, he came to church and got the devil broken off of him. I was standing in church just less than a week ago, and I'm worshiping God, and somebody bumps me, and he's like, what's up? I'm like, yeah, come on. He's crying. I took him by the hand. He's serving God. He's one of our leaders. He's got an amazing business. What would happen if I just blew off that and delivered Karen's milk and got home just so I could sit in my easy chair and death scroll? Doom scrolling. No, there was no scrolling back then because it was like in 1942. But I'm just saying, what could happen? He's had multiple children. His kids are in the ministry. We're older men now. And when he looked at me, I said, hey, he knew exactly what I was thinking. And he's thinking the same thing I'm thinking. Thank God you came and I didn't do it. Lastly, we need the empowering work of the Holy Spirit to prevail over our flesh. We need the empowering work of the Holy Spirit to prevail over our flesh, to overcome the world, to walk in victory over the devil. You need the Holy Spirit power. Lift your hands to heaven. Come on, tell him how much you need him. You can't do it alone. He doesn't expect you to white knuckle it. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of his glory would be seen through us. It takes the Holy Spirit. Takes God, the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the three in one God. Takes God to live for God, and takes the Holy Spirit to help you to deny your flesh. You just call on him when you're ready to rip that thing off or do something wrong. Say, oh God, help me right now, and turn. Young man came years ago, struggling with pornography, telling the story of how he struggled. He said, I would go past the drugstore and go look at the Playboy magazines. And the pastor said to him, go home another way. He began to go home another way and learned a new route. You need to regroove your mind. You need to train your neural path to be renewed by the word of God. You need to obey. I don't want to obey because I don't feel led to obey. Well, then you're not going to win. I don't want to yield. I don't want to turn the other cheek. I know. None of us do. We all want to eat bonbons with a remote control in our hand and just, be 7,000 pounds. You know, I didn't want to go to the gym last night. It's the last thing I wanted to do. The last thing. I was jet lagged. I got in, flew all night. But I hadn't been at my place of working out. I do it for the main reason of putting my flesh down. It's the main reason I do it. It's the main reason. Some other benefits also. But the main reason is it's something I've done for, I don't know, 30 plus years, 40 years. I work out. I try to push what I can't do, and I call on God, and it goes up. And I try a little bit more the next week. So I hadn't done legs. It's time for a leg workout. I don't do a leg workout on Saturday night. That's stupid. So I'm like, I'm just going to go through them. I'm just going to be easy. Just you and me, Jesus. We're just going to just kind of a couple of leg extensions, leg curls. That's it. And then the sauna, maybe I'll lead somebody to Jesus. I pull up and I know I'm going to, I just feel like I'm weak. I just feel like I don't want to do it, man. I pull up. I'm like, Lord, would you help me? And I open my eyes and I see somebody from the church. He's like, what's up, pastor? I'm like, hey, bro, working out? He's like, yeah. I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, legs. I'm like, I said, can I trail you? He's like, yeah. I'm like, great. I had one of the great leg workouts because God helped me. He'll help you if you call on him. He'll help you if you position yourself. He'll help you if you'll be in partnership or fellowship with people, be a part of a team. You get into a life group. We're launching all our new life groups. Why would you do that? Because the best way to be a disciple is in a small group. Another Stockstill quote. I have a prophetic word for you, sir. Luke, right? As Philip was in Samaria, the Holy Spirit then speaking to him to leave and go out to the desert, and we know not how long he was there. The Ethiopian eunuch came by, and then he ran and caught up to the chariot. He explained the book of Isaiah. The Ethiopian eunuch got saved. Philip baptized him. He was a treasurer of Candace kingdom. Baptized him, and then he was raptured off and sent to another place where he had four daughters that were all prophetesses. You know the word. The Lord is leading you in a way of realigning and reassigning, and I prophesy to you fresh strength. Fresh strength comes to you in your physical body. And the enemy's launched an attack against you to get you to back off, to get you to hold up just a little bit. There's even some that would say you'd have better wisdom if you would such and such and so and so, but there is a fire that's on the inside of you, sir. There's a fire on the inside of you that needs to be released to the next generation. And the Lord says, I'm putting my word in your mouth out of a saturation. And as you preach, as you pray, as you prophesy, it's going to turn the hearts of pastors. I see pastors coming alongside you. I mean, I know a little bit because we were just introduced. You've been in ministry or are in ministry and missions, but I see a realignment and a reassignment, and the word of the Lord is fresh in your mouth, and you're going to be used by God. I'm renewing your health. I'm strengthening you. I see your bones being strengthened. I see your kidneys and your organs being strengthened. Even now, I see phantom pains and different concerns being strengthened. And you are going to rise with a new vitality to preach, to teach, to declare to another generation. You're not done yet, says the Lord. I'm going to put new fire on you even today. Holy Spirit, let your fire come upon this couple right now. In Jesus' name, fulfilling purpose and destiny, realignment and reassignment. Come on, lift your hands to Jesus all across this place. Lord, that you would fill us right now. Come on, ask God to fill you. Fill us right now. Fill us full of fire. Fill us full of your power. Fill us full of passion. We not be so concerned about our needs. We not be like the pagans, not be like the Gentiles who are always looking to meet their needs. Consider Solomon in all of his glory. Was not arrayed like any one of these flowers of the field. Consider the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap. They don't toil. Yet our heavenly Father supplies to them. How much more, you of little faith, seek first the kingdom of God. Don't worry about remnant. Don't worry about what you're wearing. Don't worry about where you're going to make it or how you're going to make it through. Just seek first his kingdom. Take steps of faith. If it means like you're never going to make it or you're going to lose everything, well, you make sure there's wisdom and a multitude of counsel. You make sure you're moving through by the word of the Lord. But when God speaks to you, don't let up. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Let the power of God come upon the seed that you sow, your very life, and overcome, prevail against the enemy. It's God's plan. Can you shout amen? Hallelujah.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.